Would you turn your Bible to John chapter 12, please? Like many of you, I've seen and met people who call themselves spiritual. They say that they are spiritual. Their idea of being spiritual has nothing to do with the biblical concept of the spirituality. Rather, they make their own spirituality with the from here a little bit, a little bit from there, a little bit from there, and putting hodgepodge religion. They said it's the Christianity because I believe in Jesus Christ. In what way? Is He your Messiah? Is He your Savior? Is He the Lord of your life? If He is, then you, and also Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I tell you, command you, right? If you don't do what He told you, you are not really Christian. They make their own hodgepodge religion to appease, underline that appease, to satisfy their own hunger, spiritual hunger temporarily. The worst part of this humanistic spiritual ignorance and confusion comes from the hard hearts of the people who do not care to know the truth of Jesus Christ. Did you get that? They choose not to know. In other words, that when it comes to the truth of God, people choose to be ignorant intentionally. Again, the emphasis is on intentional. And for the sake of their carnality, not because they don't have a way to learn the truth. In America, you really don't have an excuse not to know the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if anywhere around the world, if you have an internet access, you have a way to know the truth of God. It's readily available. I know some people think the internet is a devil. Internet is not devil. Yes, many internet websites are demonic. One third of internet websites are porno websites, yet there are many, many great websites where you can learn the truth of God. Again, it's your choice to go where you need to go to learn the Word of God. This morning we encounter Jesus who showed us not only the vulnerability of his 100% human nature, but also he displayed the determination, purpose, and the love for his Father in heaven as 100% God. In the meanwhile, people around him, though they were clueless, could be divided into two groups. One, seeker. The other, scoffer. Guess what? It's still the same. Either you are scoffers or seekers of Jesus Christ. You follow me? There is no such a thing as, oh, I'm agnostic. Just in case you don't know what the meaning of agnostic is, it comes from the Latin word ignoramus. Guess what kind of word we get? When you say, I'm an agnostic, you're saying, I'm ignorant. Let's stop here and pray. Father, you are our Lord, our Messiah. Blessed are you, Father. And your name is exalted high above all. And your greatness and power and glory and majesty reach to heavens, expand to the farthest corner of the universe. Yet you scoop down to touch imperfect human beings like us and saved us from the misery and saved us from hopelessness. And you extend your love and mercy toward us through Jesus. Though yours is the kingdom, though yours is the power, while we are still sinners, you choose to love us and show us the truth that we may seek your truth. instead of leaving us in the scoffers, now we have eternal life in Christ. It's not because we are special, but you are special. We thank you. Father, as we hear from you, not from a man, we don't want to hear the man's opinion, only your word, your truth. Anoint our heart and the one who speaks, that he may speak your word, and we may receive your word gladly. We may practice what you tell us through your word, and remove all carnality out of our heart. Father, we pray for President Trump and all the leaders in our country. Let them turn their heart to you, to what is right. And we pray for the fallen law enforcement personnel in West Virginia and other places. Comfort their families, comfort their, and tension between the United States and North Korea is rising. Father, we are asking you to protect our troops wherever they are, and protect our law enforcement personnel and the fight. We love you. We pray. Chapter 12, verse 20 of Book of John, please. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip. Note that word, please. Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn, Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Would you underline, highlight that? The Son of Man should be glorified. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates in his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, and let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, let him, my Father will honor." Stop there, please. Following his entry to Jerusalem, Jesus went to the temple and cleansed the temple and shoo out all this corrupt merchant and their belongings out of the temple twice. This is the second time. Perhaps Greek seekers who were looking for the truth in Judaism saw that and even heard that, and they realized this man hold the truth. So they wanted to see Jesus. They came to Philip. I believe that these Greek seekers are not just curious visitors or one-time investigators, but they are God-fearing Gentile seekers who attend the Jewish feast to find the truth. Folks, we need to commend these Greek people for wanting to see Jesus rather than wanting to see miracles like a Jews. It is so much more important to know the miracle makers, the miracle worker, Jesus, than miracles themselves, even though the miracles are wonderful. Nothing wrong with the miracles, but seek the miracle makers. Are you with me? You know, sometimes I see this like a Benny Hinn. He called a miracle crusade as if he is doing anything. And people throngs after that. And they treat it like a miracle as a sideshow. Miracle is the result of what God is doing. And another thing, if you can... Sometimes I go to the Discovery Channel and they try to explain away the miracles of God. If you can explain miracle, it ain't a miracle. Okay? This Greek came to Philip. I know some theologian will say why they came to Philip. Remember what I taught you guys? When the Bible is silent, what do? Be silent. Anything else is a speculation. But we do know one thing. the name Philip is Greek name. So they wanted to start with an easy entry. Guy named Philip. Oh, you must be descendant of Greek or somehow influenced with the Greek. Up to this time, Jesus repeatedly said, my time has not come. But for the first time, Jesus declared them, the hour has come, the Son of Man should be glorified. Any first century would remember that prophecy mentioned about this in Daniel chapter 7. So keep your finger in John chapter 12. Turn to your left and go to the Old Testament right after the book of Ezekiel. And go to Daniel chapter 7, please. Verse 13. Daniel chapter 7. My Bible read, I was watching in the night vision. He was not having night vision goggles, just seeing the dream. And behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. Then to him was given the dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nation, and the language would serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. And I'm sure the disciples, Jesus' disciples, and the people around Jesus would say, my, finally! Jesus is going to exalt himself, he's going to set up the kingdom and destroy Roman government, and he's going to make a worldwide kingdom, and we're going to be on top of the world. That's their mindset. Something the world could only see, but Jesus was not talking about worldwide famous name or the dominion or kingdom. But while they're thinking about this glorious kingdom, Jesus was talking about cross. That's not what they had in mind. But when they heard verse 24, go back to verse 24, back to the John chapter 12, verse 24. Most assuredly I say to you, unless the grain of the wheat fall into the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces many grains. What's this dying? What's this death got to do with us in the dominion of the kingdom of Jesus? I'm sure their heart was skipped a few beats and their stomach sank. That was not what they had in mind. He just turned their dreams of a conquest into the nightmare of a cross. Political and military revelation would not have done anybody any good. Listen, yes, we have the president who are aligning with the Bible, but President Trump is not the answer. Did you get that? Don't look to him for the answer. He was just a mere pawn in the God's chess game. He will move any national leaders however he chooses to move. Don't rely on any man. He will do whatever he chooses to do. Because of our own sinful nature within us, we are bound to do wrong things no matter what. The majority of educators and psychologists of the world claim that people are good in nature. Contrary to their belief, we do not have to be taught to do wrong. It's in our DNA to do wrong. Did you have to teach your children to lie? Or did your mom and dad teach you how to lie? Come on, answer me. You just knew how to lie, didn't you? And you just knew how to do wrong thing, didn't you? That's in our nature. No matter what your opinion of yourself, the Bible tells us plain and simple, we are a sinner. We are sinners and we need Jesus Christ. Agreed? And whenever I come across people say, I'm a good person, I was thinking, no, you're not. The only way to have a fruitful life in this world is to follow Jesus Christ in death and burial and resurrection with an unselfish heart. In other words, Jesus is challenging us today to surrender our lives to Him. It's one thing for us to claim that we love God, and it is a completely different thing to obey what He tells us to do in the Bible. Did you get that? People don't want to do that. Everyone in Christianity would love God because He is absolutely lovable. Jesus is lovable. But obeying His command from the Bible goes against the grain of our sinful and selfish nature, thus we often disobey Him. There are a lot of worship songs talk about the beauty of God. Yes, they are wonderful songs. But a lot of times, they don't talk about the sinfulness of human. What good is it to talk about beauty of God, but we are thinking we are good enough to make the way to heaven? We are overestimating ourselves. Go back to the Bible and chapter 12, verse 27. Now we see Jesus' soul is disturbed. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then the voice came from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Stop there. We somehow think that going through what Jesus went through for us in His earthly life, from His birth to resurrection, is a breeze to Him since He was 100% God. Don't forget, He was 100% human. If you poke Him with a needle, His finger, He would bleed just like any one of us. If you slap Him across His face, He would feel the pain, sting of pain. When He was tortured, He was in agony of pain. When He didn't have a food, He was hungry. When He didn't sleep, dealt with the people all day long, He was tired. He slept, He ate, and He got angry, just like any one of us. Don't forget that. Yes, He knew that He would overcome the death, and He would rise from the dead. Yes, He had the power to stop the whole shenanigan and say, I'm done. I don't want to put up with these people. He could walk away from us and let us be damned in hell. But He loved us so much, He endured. He didn't die without feeling. He felt every single pain that was, and every bit of a curse of sin that should be upon us. We realize that when we came to Jesus, all of our sins have been forgiven. The Lord canceled all our record of the transgression and iniquities. Jesus did not have that kind of luxury. He was not dying for His own sin to be forgiven. Rather, He was bearing our sins upon Himself. And He became totally guilty for us. Listen carefully. Jesus did not sin to the point when He was hung on the cross. And from that moment, all of our sin, all of your sin, your secret sin, my secret sin, dumped on Him. He became the most vile sinner in human history. And He was no way to forgiven by anybody unless He died for our sin. Go to keep your finger in John chapter 12. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Some of you guys know this by heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He says, for He, that's the God the Father, made Him, that's Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Listen. There's no power in the universe that made Him to go to cross. Nor was there any power in the universe could stop him from going to the cross other than his love for us, so that he could glorify the Father in heaven. Some may wonder, how did the bloody cross and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ give glory to the Father in heaven? It's an excellent question. Think with me. Greatest manifestation of the attribute of God in the history of the universe took a place on the cross. Let me explain. Was ever the love of God for his people more clear? When God himself died for sinners. That's known. Second question. Was ever the wrath of God against sin more clear than at the cross when he judged his own son to death? None. Was ever the grace of God more clear than when he substituted Jesus for you and me? Let me explain this in another way. Remember Garden of Eden? John chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, disobedience, right? And God, of course he knew all of that before the beginning of the universe. And what did he do? He killed an animal as a substitute to cover their nakedness. The animal's blood covered them, so they would not die. Adam and Eve deserved to die, but the problem is if God killed them, that's the end of humankind. So somebody else had to die, the animal. It was merely covering them. But Jesus Christ's death wiped away the sin. Okay. Was the mercy of God more clear than on the basis of the Christ's death? For he forgave you and me? One more question. Was ever the wisdom of God more clear than in such a master plan as that the cunning and devious Satan had no idea what was coming? Some Bible teachers say that Satan knew what was going on, so he tried to stop Jesus. No, he didn't. He did not know. If he knew, Satan knew that Jesus died for us as an atoning sacrifice on the cross, Satan would do anything to stop Jesus going to cross. Are you with me on that? Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Every attribute of God funneled into one at the cross in one event, Jesus' death. In response to Jesus' prayer, the Father instantly replied in audible voice. For the first time in 400 years since the last prophecy by the Malachi, the Italian prophet, right? Also known as Malachi. God the Father spoke to his Son and gave him double assurance. The Son's past life and the ministry had glorified the Father, and the Son's future suffering and death that would glorify him. It is significant that the Father spoke to the Son three times. At the beginning of his Son's ministry, right after he got baptized by the John the Baptist in Jordan River, according to Matthew 3. And Son began his journey to the Jerusalem, second time, is the Mount of the Transfiguration, according to Matthew 17. And now, as the Son entered into the last day before the cross. The Lord always gives the word of assurance to those who willingly suffer for his sake. Now we see scoffers in verse 29. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus then answered and said, This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world, underline the ruler of this world, please, will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, and will draw all people, note that word, all people to myself. Verse 33, this he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remained forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Can you imagine? He's been teaching them. Jesus is the Son of Man. It's like going into the one ear, then going out to the other side. You've done that before in the high school, right? In the college. One group said it was thunder, the other said it was the angel's voice. It's nothing new, folks. It's nothing new. Because people never really hear the voice of God. God is not silent. Let me repeat it. God is not silent. He speaks. Rather, people are deaf spiritually. No, let me rephrase that. People don't want to hear the Lord because they don't want to be convicted by God. Would you agree? I saw the old program. It was a late night show. Pat Boone. Remember Pat Boone? Any of you guys remember Pat Boone? Am I the only fog? Only guy, only old foggy? Yeah, Pat Boone. Pat Boone was on that late night show. And, huh? Pat Boone. Now, Pat Boone. Okay, now you got it. It's a Swedish accent. That Christian singer, he's not shy about his faith in Jesus Christ. This talk show host said, so you don't have a hangover? He said, no, because I don't drink. And the second question is, so God speak to you? He said, yes, through the Bible. A lot of people think that God speak to you in certain different, he's going to speak to me in my heart. Be careful. Your conscience can be seared. You can justify anything you want to accommodate your sin. Some people live together and they have sex before marriage. And they say, well, it's okay. Bible says we are practically married. Do you have a marriage license? No, we're going to have it soon. If you don't have a marriage license, you ain't married. I don't care how many times you want to justify that. If you don't have a marriage license, you're living in sin. Get that? You choose to go against the Word of God intentionally. You're disobeying God. Make it right. Some people come up with all these excuses, lame garbage excuses. I look at it, okay, that's the best excuse you can come up with. People don't want to know the truth because they get convicted by God. If you're a born-again Christian, you claim to be, and you don't know how to hear the Word of God and recognize the voice of God, I will give you the secret. Okay, don't tell anybody. No extra charge. Just now, just today, read the Word of God. Meditate on it. Memorize the Bible verses. And somebody was, well, yeah, but doesn't it say, keep it in context. Okay? Keep it in context. And whatever you get, you think you heard from God, if it goes against the Word of God in context, it's because of you had the bad, spicy enchilada night before. Word of God never go against His own Word. The voice of God. In verse 33, Apostle John inserted his editorial comment regarding the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. People around him thought that he was coming to offer them a material kingdom with a great wealth, but he offered them spiritual kingdom. And so they didn't want him, and this is the turning point where the Hosanna became crucify him. Listen, Jesus could not give them a kingdom until they became a citizen of the kingdom. They could not enter a kingdom until they had become righteous. They could not become righteous until somebody who was without sin paid for their sins. And he could not, Jesus could not pay for their sins until Jesus died. So Jesus had to die to pay for their sins, to make them righteous so that they could have the right to enter into the kingdom of God. Am I making sense to you? It's a logical thing, isn't it? The ruler of this world is none other than Satan. Satan was motivated by the self-will, but Jesus motivated by the will of Father. Satan's power brought the death and destruction, but Jesus' power imparted renewal and life. The Satan is still active, and his action is only a desperation of futility, and his time is limited. I love the way someone said, I'm copying what he said, when Satan reminds your ugly past before Christ, remind him his future in hell. The verse used, lifted up, is hupsal in Greek, which has a deliberate double meaning. It means both literal and physical elevation on a cross and exaltation in rank and honor. We have seen this phrase in chapter 3 and chapter 8 of John, and we also see it in Isaiah 52. So let's go to Isaiah 52. Isaiah, located right before Jeremiah in the Old Testament, 52, verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Back to 12, John chapter 12, verse 32. Let's read from the verse 30. Jesus answered and said that this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. This is the judgment of this world, and now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Verse 32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Note that. Draw all people to myself. Does it mean that he is saying, okay, everybody, universalism, and everybody will be saved? Do you know there is a prominent Calvary pastor's son? Was a good teacher. And he embraced this universalism. Everybody will be saved. It's not an indiscriminate salvation. Rather, it means that Jesus Christ draws men to himself for their salvation indiscriminately. Anyone without race, racial prejudice, without a nationality or status. He said that this in the presence of Greek Gentiles so that they could realize that Jesus could be their Savior as well. The Jewish people had been taught only the passage where from the Old Testament, Jesus would be the Savior, Messiah would be have an eternal kingdom. And this portion where the Psalm 22, Isaiah 53 is foreign to them. It was selective teaching and selective hearing. This crowd who greeted Jesus as a political conqueror with such enthusiasm didn't want to consider his sacrificial death. It didn't fit into their idea. Does Jesus fit into your idea of the Messiah? Does Jesus fit into your idea of a Savior? A way to heaven? If you somehow think that you can make your way to heaven, you are sadly mistaken. Because you are a good person. Define how good is good. In what standard? Your idea good may be not good enough. Guess what? In the book of Isaiah, our goodness is like a filthy rag. If I explain that, it's like a poopy rag, poopy diaper. My grandson gives me regularly. Three applications. Next time, I'll just take a picture and show it to you guys. Number one, we can have Jesus as an example to follow. But if we actually don't do what He tells us to do, we are not going to have any of our spiritual growth in Him. Second application, we believers and unbelievers alike should not think that God's truth will go away or lower its standard if we ignore it long enough. His truth is eternal and immovable. Can you say that with me? His truth is eternal and immovable. In other words, your opinion doesn't mean a squat. Application number three. Seek the Lord for the guidance of your life. Through His Word, the Bible, you will never regret doing it. Amen?